Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you for the entire hour here on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Plus, we got a great sidekick in the house, John Jackson, the Joker from X. He's a retired federal law enforcement officer. He's got over 100,000 followers on X, lives here in Montana, of course. John, always great to have you join us on the show. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, you watched the full debate last night as much as you could handle. You sat through the entire debate, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy versus Liberal Senator John Tester. I thought Tim Sheehy just cleaned the floor with John Tester last night. But John Tester was desperately trying to lob every attack he possibly could. To me, that's a clear sign that John Tester, that John Tester believes these polls showing that he is losing this race.
You see the level of a debate at a state level like this versus these national debates. I thought both candidates were way more well-behaved than you see normally on the national stage, and the moderators were way more well-behaved than you see on the national stage. But, yeah, you saw a Tim Sheehy, very cool, very just talking about the issues, and very composed, whereas you could tell Tester was not only pompous and condescending, but on the attack because he knows he's behind.
This was the line of the night. In fact, I said this via X right after I saw this back and forth about backroom deals. John Tester is the king of backroom deals. Listen to this line. I think this was the line of the night. I think John would agree when Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy responded to Tester.
Well, Senator Tester knows all about backroom meetings. He's been taking them for 20 years as the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. The number one recipient of lobbyist cash in the whole country, of all candidates, number one. So if you want to talk about backroom meetings, while I was fighting in Afghanistan, he was eating lobbyist steak in D.C.
Yeah, what a line.
Oh!
knockout punch right there, I'd say. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the point. While Tim Sheehy was in Afghanistan fighting for this country, John Tester was racking up $1.2 million in fancy Washington, D.C. restaurant bills, and he's the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. Everything he campaigned against when he ran for office in 2006.
Now, all you hear from these phony, fake Democrats is Montana values. I mean, you will hear them say that until you want to vomit. Everything you just said right there, Aaron, the number one receiver of lobbyist cash, $1.2 million spent in Tony, D.C. restaurants. Does that sound to anyone within the reach of my voice? Does that sound like Montana values to you?
We got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Couple callers already on the line. We'll start with your phone calls right after this. Also, I have the full audio transcript of last night's debate. Did you have a favorite moment from the debate? Tell me what that favorite moment was. You can call in or message us on the Montana Talks app, and I'll see if I can go right to it and play it for you with the transcript that I've got on hand right now as we speak.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's take the callers in order as we get them here. We've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. I'll get to Matt in Billings here, second up. Then we'll get to Susan in Missoula because she only got a little bit of time yesterday before we got cut off by the break, and then I had to move on to a guest. So I want to give her the chance to call back in this morning. But first up, speaking of the U.S. Senate race debate last night, we just got a surprise phone call from Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy calling in from Belgrade. Tim, great to hear from you.
Thanks, Aaron. As you know, I've been a loyal listener for years, so I appreciate your coverage this morning. Thought I'd call in, had a quick debrief. We're excited about last night. Felt it was a strong performance. And I think Montana saw the same thing we saw, which is, you know, a desperate man trying to cling to his job with lies and misdirection and clarity and honesty on the other side. And we came out ahead.
How would you sum up the debate from your standpoint?
Clarity. We're speaking truth. And, you know, the misdirection, John Tester's entire campaign has been based on lies and misdirection, smearing my name, smearing my military service. If you noticed, I thanked him twice for his service to this country in this debate. I thanked him in last debate, too. Each time I took the time to Senator Tester, thank you for your service. But, you know, guess what? It's time for you to retire. And not once in either debate did he bother to thank me for my combat service to this nation over five deployments, wounded in combat for this country. That just right there shows you what it is. He doesn't value the service of this country that me or other veterans have provided. He wants to pander to the vets. He wants to pretend he's supporting them just to get their vote to stay in office. I've never run for anything before, not student council, not city commission. This is my first time running, and it's because of this. It's because of corrupt career politicians who are running this country in the ground. We showed that last night. We held him to task in all of his lies, all of his failures in office. I think Montana, as they watch that debate, as they replay it in their living rooms, they're going to see the same thing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Last night, I had to throw out the question again on X. I said, did John Tester seriously not even once, because he didn't do it once during the first debate, and then now a second debate, he couldn't even simply say, thanks for your service, you know. Because, look, you and I, we've served overseas. We've served with people of every background you can think of, with all sorts of different political viewpoints, and no political viewpoints, and it's a brotherhood. It's you're part of the family, right? And so we can say, look, we're going to disagree on a lot of things tonight, but let me start by saying thanks for your service. Thanks for your wife's service. She was a United States Marine. That tells you everything you need to know about this guy, that he couldn't even simply say thanks for your service.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, of course, you know, he started riffing on all these blatant lies that, you know, frankly, have already been proven false, but he says them anyways, and I'll be fascinated to see what the University of Montana fact checkers say about that. You know, yeah. University of Montana, I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of fact checking out of them, but, you know, I almost went into a fact checking mode myself, but I said, you know what, Montanans don't want to listen to a bickering here. I'm not going to sit there and interrupt and fact check this guy. I'm just going to speak truth. We're going to speak clearly about what we're going to do. You know, my favorite part, though, of the whole debate, Aaron, I love the quote you just mentioned, but my favorite part is that he tried to blame me for a Senate bill not passing to secure the border, as if me not being a senator somehow had anything to do with his failed, pathetic messaging bill to try to, quote-unquote, secure the border, which, as we well know, simply would have legalized what's going on right now. And the fact that he tried to blame you for it was pretty laughable. I think I was actually just started laughing in the debate because it was so ridiculous.
Before I let you go, because we got other callers we got to get to here as well, I got to get your take. Charlie Kirk on the University of Montana campus yesterday, he did one of those Change My Mind event. Hundreds of students surrounding him. That was incredible. And then you and Charlie Kirk did a rally in the University Theater, I think it was, at the University of Montana campus. And the Democrats could barely even get like a tiny handful of protesters to even show up. That tells me that, wow, you have got massive support among University of Montana students. That should be a hotbed for Tester. And they're not even coming out for him.
Of course not. And obviously, the only thing the news covers is a handful of disruptors that they send in. And they send those people in because they are so terrified of the truth. And what you said is exactly right. We're seeing young people now who have their eyes wide open. And they're saying, listen, you know, if all these progressive policies are really in place to help us, why is it we can't afford to go to school without taking out $100,000 in student loans? Why is it inflation's through the roof? Why are my wages not going further? Why do I not have opportunities in this inflationary economy? Why is crime growing on our streets all over this country? And they look at the results of policies, and they're tired of being lied to by the mainstream media and by our elected officials when they can see right in front of their face, you know. And people want to roll out, oh, stats from the government say this, you know, like when you know, the Commerce Department tells us that, you know, Biden created 800,000 jobs that they didn't. People are now finally saying, you know what, I don't need studies. I don't need bureaucrats to tell me what to think. I have eyes. I can see what's happening in front of me, and I'm tired of being lied to. So I think you're absolutely right. That's what we saw there was young kids saying, I'm tired of getting this pasteurized process bureaucratic-approved curriculum. I want to speak truth. I want to hear from real people about how we're going to solve these problems.
Yeah, massive show of support on the UM campus. I just thought that was crazy. Tim Sheehy, thanks for calling in. Nice surprise phone call here the day after the Senate race debate. Great to hear from you. John Jackson, before we get to our callers, since we got the next break here, pushing up quickly on us, and then we'll get to Matt and Billings right after that. Your thoughts on what Tim just had to say here?
Well, on the U of M thing and how they couldn't get anybody out there really to engage in a big protest. Think about what might have occurred over there is with that gal from the track team that exposed how John Tesser's people are trying to pay them off to endorse him while he, on the same hand, is pushing for men to be allowed into their sport.
Yeah. men and women's sports, men in girls' bathrooms, a topic that did not get brought up in last night's debate by Montana PBS, unfortunately. But then again, the economy didn't get enough attention either, if you asked me. It kind of got rolled into the housing debate. Best question I think Charlie Kirk raised on the UM campus yesterday was, do you want your daughters to be drafted into World War III?
There you go.
I mean, you and I have covered that before. I don't think these young women at Missoula want to be drafted into World War III either.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go right into the phone lines here. Matt in Billings, thanks for sticking around. What's on your mind this morning?
I have two quick things. I know I've got to be quick here, but Mr. Xi, you're awesome. You were amazing last night. On illegal immigration, I think Mr. Xi could have said, the only immigration bill that's been passed, I think it's been passed for 2 years, is the H.R. 2. And why haven't you, Mr. Tesser, went over and demand to your financier, Chuck Schumer, to bring that bill to the floor? Because I believe that's the only bill that's ever passed any chamber. And the second thing I want to bring up on the debate was, I think a really fair and nonpartisan question that the moderator should have asked was, why do you, Mr. Xi, support Donald Trump and his America First agenda? And why have you not supported Ms. Harris, Mr. Tesser, who you went and recruited to run for senator and now for president? And I think those are real questions that should have been answered.
Yeah, no, great points all around, especially on the border. John, I sent that out via X last night. I sent out a tweet. You know, because I thought Tim Sheehy, you know, it was spot on when he called out John Tesser and says, why haven't you apologized for the border, John? Because he could have gone even further. You know, John Tesser should apologize for the open borders. John Tesser should apologize for the Native American women that are being targeted by the Mexican drug cartels. John Tesser should apologize for the fact that he has refused to provide more federal law enforcement resources for our reservations. There's a laundry list of things John Tesser should apologize for.
Well, you know, if this happens to you and I on the radio all the time, right? We go, squirrel! Squirrel, right? And, you know, all the time, you know, we'll start out at 8 o'clock in the morning and we'll say, okay, we got to talk about this issue. And then by the time the show's over, we realize we never talked about that one thing that we were going to talk about, right?
Yeah.
And see, that's where you've got messaging professionals in the, and anybody that's out there that's in this game right now. If you are a Republican candidate out there, you need to be talking about the border, crime, and economy. And that's it. I mean, boom, hammer that all the way to November. That is what they, the Democrats, have intentionally screwed up. And that's also what's important to the American people.
That's right. And it's also, it's a local issue in Montana. It's not just a national issue. It's a local issue because we are feeling the effects right here on the ground. Drugs, crime, and much more. All right. Susan in Missoula called in yesterday, told us about the debate watch party that they had at the bowling alley in Missoula last night. But she only got a quick little mention on the radio because then we had a hard break and we had a guest on the show. Susan, thanks for calling back in. You've got another debate watch party tonight, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I do, but I wanted to tell you that yesterday's debate was really, really interesting because I opened the debate watch party, as I do for tonight, to not only Republicans but also Democrats, because I know that my Republican friends will be gracious and loving, and they will be very thoughtful and kind. And I want, you know, I want Democrats to come and be a part of hearing how Republicans treat each other and how they treat Democrats. Last night, it was agreed by the group that was there, and there were 65 of us at that debate party at West Side Lanes. We agreed that both Sheehy and Tester actually presented their case very well. They both did very well. And I think I will tell you, it also showcased that Tester truly believes what he says. He truly does believe that government is the answer, and he does believe that abortion is something that is a right of a woman to murder a child. So,
no limits. He made it clear. He is a radical leftist on abortion. Even most.
No, he made it real, real clear. And I think
no limits at all whatsoever. It's crazy.
The good thing about that debate, and I'm pulled over at the side of the road on Reserve Street, so it's very noisy. I will tell you, the good thing about that debate is the voters really, really got a good view of what Tim Sheehy is about. He is a straight shooter. He's an honest person. And they also saw what John Tester is about.
Yeah, no, great summary. And then they'll have another debate watch party tonight for the vice presidential debate back at West Side Lanes again tonight, right, for the VP debate, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, Susan, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you, as always. John, yeah, I think the thing is that, yeah, John Tester is very crafty. He's very skillful. He's very manipulative. He's been playing this game and surviving at playing this game for quite some time now. But I think people are finally seeing through his phony shtick.
To the caller's point, she was saying that John Tester believes that. And I'm going to tell you right now, no, he doesn't.
Well, he believes in big government.
Yes,
I think that. Some of the other stuff he was blatantly lying on, yeah.
This stuff that they push, it's not because they believe these different initiatives are ever going to actually work or do what they say it's going to do. You know, the Affordable Care Act, was that affordable for you? The Inflation Reduction Act, that was nothing but the Green New Deal, you know, in disguise. They don't believe any of it. It's all about their power. It is one step closer to achieving power. That's all it's about.
But I think Susan's point about how he truly believes that big government is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, for John Tester, it is big government. That's practically his religion, except for when it comes to taking the life of a baby all the way up until birth. He doesn't believe there should be any limits there. That was his radical position on abortion that he shared last night. I had a message on our Montana Talks app from Joe Dooling in Helena. The John Tester ad about the Anaconda Job Corps is false. It was Montana Senator Steve Daines who saved the Job Corps in Anaconda. And while he was there, Trump called Steve Daines, and some of the graduates of the Job Corps got to talk to Trump. Joe Dooling says, these guys will lie, cheat, and steal. So desperate. That's from Joe Dooling, who's running for county commissioner in Lewis and Clark County in Helena. Let's go next to the phone lines. We've got Greg in Terry. Greg, are you there? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Hey, thanks for having my call. Just a quick recap on last night's debate. Tester, he was squirming. He was squirming good. I thought he was going to stroke out, especially on a couple issues when it came to the economy. And then when it was talking about public lands, you know, Tim hit the nail on the head with that. The one question I would have really loved to hear was what they thought about the BLM. Basically, they authorized 450,000 acres for solar and wind development. The most of that land is here in Montana. And, you know, there was not a word from Tester about it when this went through. And you know, I'd really like to hear their point on that.
Oh, that's a great point. Well, see, solar panels don't impact sage grouse. Only other things impact sage grouse. Solar panels won't impact sage grouse, right? Right, Greg?
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, you take all this land out of production, and, you know, the Democrat Party is basically communist at this point, you know. Their last resort is controlling the food. You know, you take that land out of production, you're controlling the food.
Well, and John Tester, I know Tim Sheehy has hammered John Tester for hand-picking, you know, eco-terrorist Tracy Stone Manning to be in charge of the BLM.
Exactly.
I mean, that alone tells you everything you need to know about John Tester and his opposition to Montana farmers and ranchers, the fact that he put her on that job. Greg, great points. Great to hear from you. Thanks for listening. And Terry, let me see. Okay, John, we got to talk about coal and solar panels and more, because we got a great message from Rich in Belgrade. But Gary brought up the whole public lands issue, and did you see John Tester squirming on that issue?
Mm-hmm.
His eyes were like, I mean, he was about to have a complete robotic meltdown on the stage when he started faltering on the whole public lands debate.
If, just so everybody knows, you know that National Democrats, what do? Anytime their little pee-pee's getting a ringer, what do? They scream, racism!
Oh, yeah.
Racism!
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know that, right? Well, see, what all the Democrats do here in Montana when they get their little pee-pees in a ringer is they scream, stream access and public land access. When you hear that from these people, just think racism. Oh. That's all that is.
Oh, they'll throw out the race card, too.
Yeah.
Not realizing how much that pisses off Montanans. You throw out the phony race card, I think you get even more of a negative reaction from Montanans. I think they really pissed off a lot of Montanans by trotting out this phony race card in this Senate race. Public lands, John Tester threw out a claim that Tim Sheehy's donors want to sell public lands.
Yeah, which donor are you talking about that wants to sell public lands?
We can get you a list if you like,
sure,
them.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know who they are.
So the truth is, public lands belong to the public.
Anyway, hey, I loved it when he looked back over at John Tester and said, which donors of mine want to sell public lands? Now, I'm sure you could find donors of both of these guys that probably took a position this way or that way on the same topic. But the fact that John Tester throws out this allegation and can't even name one name, that's when the robotic meltdown about took place. I mean, his eyes were twitching left and right. It was like a Hunter Biden party all of a sudden.
It's racism, racism, public lands and stream access. Just think that when you hear that BS from the Democrats, that's what it is. It's just throwing out the old red flag there to see if the bull will charge at it.
Yeah. So anyway, the other great point that Greg, was it Greg and Terry? Yeah, Greg and Terry. I always think of Gary and Terry just because it rhymes. But anyway, Greg and Terry made a great point about, okay, so they want to dump all of these solar panels on all of our public lands, all across America. What is one of the things we love about Montana? Open space. Public lands. They want to cover it with a whole bunch of ugly solar panels. Anyway, great message from Rich in Belgrade. We'll share right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Last week in Lewistown, the Montana Grain Growers continued their Grains of Wisdom series. And while attendees received an update on the issues impacting farmers on the state and national level, they also gathered around to discuss the 2024 harvest and the 2025 planting season. Brandon Udelhoven from Winifred attended the event.
Well, I feel pretty blessed to get what we did. We were bone dry, got busy on combines during harvest. When you're sitting in a climate control cab and not in the trucks like some of the other guys, you kind of forget how hot and dry it was getting. We couldn't get anything done until this rain, but now we got some weed germination. Plan is to start spraying tomorrow and hopefully seeding the day after.
The event also gave attendees a chance to hear firsthand what is going on the state and national level impacting family farmers.
The advocacy and lobbying they've done over the years has paid huge dividends for the Montana farm industry. A lot of the policies that are in place are direct results of the lobbying they have done. It's kind of relieving to see that they're pushing to get a farm bill done. We need that safety net behind us. As a young guy, I don't have a lot of equity to fall back on. You know, it's kind of hand to mouth to cash flow from year to year. And even $6 wheat doesn't go real far in today's world.
Again, that was Winifred's Brandon Udelhoven. Speaking of winter wheat planting here in Montana, 61% of the winter wheat has been planted as of Sunday, 14 percentage points above the five-year average. I'm Wayne Norton.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. Bob in Wolf Point just sent us a message. Is there any way, anywhere, to watch last night's Sheehy Tester debate today? Great question. Go to MontanaTalks.com. I've got my favorite line of the entire debate. You can watch that short video clip. I've also got the full debate video at MontanaTalks.com right now. It's a Montana PBS debate via YouTube and with support from the Greater Montana Foundation that helped support their coverage for the debate last night. So, yeah, go to MontanaTalks.com. John, this was one of the highlights that our listener in Eastern Montana, she goes by the name Tester, will not be reelected. This was one of her favorite lines from the debate last night. She shared this via X.
Senator Tester has been in office many years. I thank him for his service. He also voted to impeach Donald Trump twice. Said on CNN we should punch him in the face. He voted with Biden and Harris every single time it mattered, voted against all Supreme Court judge nominees that came from the Trump administration, and has advocated to end the filibuster and expand the Supreme Court.
All right, and that would, of course, strip away power from Montana as well. Is statehood for D.C., stripping away representation from Montana by continuing to count illegal aliens in the census and more. But, John, I think I shared this message with you earlier. So our friend Ken in Great Falls, he now owns an electric vehicle, which good for him.
Hey, you know what? I told you at the break, Aaron, you know, send me a picture of that in your driveway with the license plate that comes back to you, and I'll believe it.
I trust Ken on this one. I think he's a diehard true believer, so I think he did finally actually purchase an EV. It took a while, but he finally got one.
Color me skeptical.
But anyway, Ken was telling us that you know, because I told him how one of our listeners has a bumper sticker for him, which is powered by coal, is the bumper sticker for his electric vehicle. But then Ken said, no, it's all solar panels because he's got nothing but solar panels at his house. Okay. But again, what do you got to do if you got to drive to Broadus or you got to drive to Eureka or Ekalaka, right? Well, we just need more solar panels. It's like, okay. Anyway, Rich in Belgrade says this. You should have Ken calculate how many sections of land it would take to equal the output of one coal strip plant. I know that is asking a lot from a liberal, so I won't ask him to compare the carbon footprint of creating, installing, and maintaining said solar farm to the 98.9, actually it's more like 99.9% clean energy from coal strip, But yeah, such a great point there. When you think about the massive amount of solar panels that would need to consume our beautiful open space on public lands all across America to try to replace the small footprint of coal strip, for example, or just coal in general, and the power that is provided, you would destroy so much open space in order to try to replace coal, for example.
I've seen the studies, I've seen the numbers, and if Ken and his buddies' plan was ever put into effect, all of the mining that would have to take place to get all of the ingredients for all of these batteries and all of this solar stuff would be far and away more destructive to the environment than anything that goes on right now. What does that tell you, Aaron? It's not about the environment. It is about power and control.
Yeah. Solar panels don't impact sage grouse, but power lines do. That's their argument. American coal is bad, according to them, but Chinese coal, no problem. No problem there. I was trying to trying to remember some of my Chinese language phrases, but I'm spacing it right now. So I haven't taken any trips paid for by the communist Chinese like old Tim Walls out of Minnesota has. So so pardon my lack of Mandarin language
Shanghai
for
Tim
you.
There,
yeah. Tampon Tim, Tiananmen Tim, yeah, you name it. Let's go to George and Laurel next up on the phone lines, and then Neil and Bozeman after George. George, what's going on?
Good morning. I saw that the Supreme Court is basically shutting down the Colorado discrimination law in the same way that the cake baker and the floor shop were sued for discrimination. A web designer sued because she was being told by Colorado State to form a website for a gay wedding.
Yeah.
And it was a 6-3 decision. Guess who voted against it?
Yeah. Big surprise there, right?
Big surprise there. Hey, and another thing on the open primary, Washington did that. And what the left did was they voted for the weakest Republican candidate and eliminated the strongest candidate from the Republicans. And that way it came up with either the weakest candidate on the Republican side or two Democrats.
That's why weak Republicans want to change our Constitution and mess with our elections and try to install ranked choice voting here in Montana. It's absolutely shameful, if you ask me. They're taking all this money from these out-of-state left-wing mega donors to interfere in our elections. By the way, go to thefederalist.com right now. Everything you need to know about ranked choice voting and its glaring problems. There's a piece by Justin Haskins at thefederalist.com right now. John, I know you want to weigh in. Let me sneak in another caller here. We've got Neil Ganser, a candidate for the Montana State Senate, calling in from Bozeman. Neil, great to hear from you. What do you want to share with our audience?
Thank you, Aaron. There was another event in Montana last evening, and that was the League of Women Voters put on a forum here in Bozeman relating to CI 128. And it was quite interesting. The pro-abortion speaker was a fellow named Alex Raitt. He's an attorney educated under Rob Nadelson, he mentioned. And he did also mention that he could never understand Rob Nadelson's logic as a teacher, which might tell you something, if you all know Rob Nadelson, I do believe. The con was former representative Tom Burnett, and he presented the moral and the generational damage that this CI has the potential to inflict. So there's a couple of interesting things. One was that Mr. Raitt said that there were 500 volunteers out collecting signatures. Well, it turns out that one of the attendees brought up the situation where she asked one of the so-called volunteers if she was paid, and she says, yes, absolutely, and she was from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
So he was caught in a fib, quite frankly.
That's very interesting. Well, and on a similar note, you mentioned that public meeting that took place in Bozeman. There's two articles in the Billings Gazette this morning. Election Reform Group to hold two gatherings in Billings on Thursday. So dark money, left-wing, out-of-state mega donors trying to interfere with our elections. They're hosting a public event in Billings on Thursday. I would encourage our Billings area listeners, show up. Hold them accountable. Show your opposition to what they're trying to do to our elections. Another one, a legislative candidate forum is planned for Wednesday evening in Billings. Oh, John, look at who is hosting the legislative candidate forum. Look who wants to control which questions are asked, which topics are brought up. Forward Montana, which is a George Soros out-of-state funded phony left-wing organization. But again, folks, show up and show your opposition to this Forward Montana phony outfit while you're there.
Well, that caller made a very good point about these ballot initiatives. How did they even get on the ballot? And that's because these dark money left-wing groups pay $1 million to flood Montana with an army of their operatives that catch people walking to and fro, lie to them about what this actually is to get them to sign off on it. Then they get it put on the ballot. Y'all, on this ballot here in November, every single one of those initiatives just vote no. It is lefty California politicians and California dark money trying to stick their finger in Montana business. Vote no.
Well, and with those two public forums, you know, it reminds me, John, one of my favorite Forrest Gump movie quotes that you've shared on the show before. You know, what is it about? Sorry, I screwed up your Black Panther party, something like that.
Sorry, I had a fight in your Black Panther party.
Yeah, show up. Don't disrupt. Sorry, I disrupted your Black Panther party. Show up at these phony out-of-state funded groups. Disrupt their stupid little party that they're trying
liar,
to have.
Liar,
Oh, man. All right. Well, if you want to disrupt our party or join in on the party, you can call in 406-294-0970. Let's see, we got Perry in Columbus, Perry the poet, I might add. Next up.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, before we run out of time, hey, your mom's back home in North Carolina. You've got a lot of family and friends back there. Obviously, the eastern seaboard has just been hammered by Hurricane Helene. President Trump was on the ground bringing supplies, bringing aid, bringing the megaphone. Joe Biden was on the beach. Kamala was on the left coast raising money. What do you want to tell folks across the state?
I want them to imagine. It's really difficult to imagine right now just how bad this is in North Carolina, in Western North Carolina. Think about right now if from Bozeman all the way west in Montana. First of all, the interstate is completely shut down. Bridges are out everywhere. Entire towns and entire regions are cut off. No electricity, no food to get in, no rescue can get in. It's just incredible devastation to the point of being almost biblical. It's never happened in the history of that area. And they don't even have a count right now on how many people are dead, missing. Reports of bodies being seen in the trees over there from the floodwaters. Just incredible, incredible devastation over there. My friends of mine, my mother's to the side of it, so she didn't get hit with it. Friend of mine is right in the middle of it, but he managed to get a generator going. He's got everything going up there, but he said, bro, it's like the zombie apocalypse up here.
Oh, yeah, I bet from some of the footage. And NBC News was interviewing some of the local residents, and they were talking about basically the lack of response from the federal government right now and how they just have zero faith in the feds after what they've seen here in the past couple of days. All right, let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, John. You know, I do try and inform and entertain, but I'm feeling pretty unwoke today, and this is where I would usually go after Tehran John Tester for voting to support the invasion of our nation by every criminal and anarchist illegal from any country in the world that handed them a ticket and booted them out. Or maybe for voting to allow any man who feels like a woman today to watch your daughter or granddaughter shower in what should be a woman's private space. I would also mention the robed god of Montana's Supreme Court and their decree that your minor children have the right to sexual autonomy. You know, you could park a 747 under the roof those two words provide. Vote for the sons of Montana, Wilson and Swanson. But my real reason for calling is Ken from Great Falls and the Chevy Blazer he is so proud of. He must be picturing in his mind a 1972 K5 Blazer with a granny 4-speed, a good old 350 V8, and a drive train without computer chips or plastic parts inside. you know, a vehicle that was made to live and work in Montana, even when it's 25 below zero. I eagerly await his call to your show the first time he tries to go any distance with 14 inches of snow on the road and sub-zero temperatures outside this winter. It will probably be to arrange a tow truck.
Well, and can you haul a heifer with that thing? You know, if you had to haul a heifer, could you haul a heifer with that thing? I don't know. It better be severely underweight, I guess, if you were going to try to do that. All right, Perry, thanks for the call. We call him the poet for a reason, John.
Aaron, I don't think you should be talking about Hillary Clinton that way.
Oh, come on now.
You know, Hillary's got her own transportation. She doesn't have to be hauled anywhere. You know, she can get there on her own.
Oh, man. Somebody's clutching their pearls over that one. I heard Aaron say, no, it was John. Let's see. Who do we got? Let's go to Jim in Joplin. Jim in Joplin, what's going on?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I just have two quick questions. Tester always says he hates the out-of-staters coming, you know, and buying up Montana land and shutting it down. But I thought I heard something here on couple months ago where he was one of the first ones to welcome a movie star. I thought it was Justin Timberlake or somebody.
JT.
You know, I mean, what the hell? Why would he do that? You know, all that land's going to be shut down forever.
Yeah, no, when Justin Timberlake, I shared it on our Montana Talks website. The tweet is still up. JT, John Tester, was like tripping over himself to welcome Justin Timberlake to Big Sky when he bought a big place up in Big Sky. But if you're a Navy SEAL who, you know, got a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star for Valor over in Afghanistan, John Tester will attack you if you're able to be successful and buy a place in the Bozeman area. But if you're a Hollywood celebrity, he will slobber all over you and welcome you to Montana. Or John, an illegal alien, right? You know, he will welcome them with open arms as well.
Or if you're a pole dancer, you know, he welcomes them with open arms.
Private meetings.
I'm sure he's right now trying to get these pole dancers hooked up with a nice big ranch out here, probably close to Big Sandy.
The funniest thing all day long. Yeah, are you still there, Jim?
Yeah, my other question is, here a couple months ago, you interviewed Laura Loomer.
Yeah.
She was going to do a great big thing and try to expose Tester on this, and I haven't heard any more. Is she still planning on coming to Montana and trying to expose more of him for, you know, here before the election?
That's a good question. I got to follow up with Laura Loomer. She's been exposing him. They've been tracking John Tester in D.C., and he's now surrounded by like three staffers to try to block them from asking questions. Hey, Jim, before you go, you heard about the meeting John Tester had with the pole dancer, the private meeting. Tim and Savage sent us a message earlier. He was wondering if the pole dancer's name was Big Sandy. I don't know if you heard that in Joplin or not, but yeah, we'll leave you with that one.
I'm your private dancer for money.
Take it away, Tina.